Mac Power Users, member bonus show for 2017. Ask me anything. Hello, everyone. This is David Sparks, along with my pal, Katie Floyd. How are you today, Katie?
I'm well, David. How are you?
Excellent. This is a special members bonus show. Not everybody gets this one. If you're listening to this, I guess the first thing I want to say to you is thank you for supporting us and all of Relay FM. We really appreciate it.
And if you hacked this feed to get it, well, shame on you. And consider becoming a member because it's really good karma. But for those of you who are here, thank you for joining us. And thank you so much for supporting Relay. It really does help us. And we really appreciate it. That's a nice little bonus we get every month, David.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. The show takes a lot of time to do, right? And it's because of the members and the sponsors that we've been able to do it this long. We do very much appreciate it. It's something I love doing. But it does cost, you know, if you have to take the time to do it right. So we talk about tech all the time on this show. And for these bonus shows, we always like to do something fun. Last year, we did a discussion of Star Wars and Star Trek. I don't think it was really Star Wars versus Star Trek, since we both kind of like both franchises with slightly different emphasis. If you're a new member, go back. That show's available. I thought it came out great. You can listen to that one. It's still in the archives there for the members only. But this year, we thought we'd do have something fun. We always try on the show to talk about technology and not get into the weeds too much. We really try. And Katie's better at it than I am, as I'm sure you know.
Sometimes I have to rein you in.
Yeah, sometimes you do. But this show, we are unrestrained. We thought we'd do a show where we'd say, ask us anything, not about tech. So
this is all in the weeds, this show. It's going to make me a little nervous, this episode.
I haven't read all the questions. I thought it'd be fun just to kind of hit them as they show up. But so we've got this Ask Me Anything. A bunch of listeners sent in questions, so we're going to get through as many of them as we can. And I'm actually really looking forward to this.
Here we go. Well, Mitch, start us off. This is one I hope you prepped a little bit. I had to think about it. What books would you recommend everyone read? What three books? He actually made us think of three. What three books would you recommend everyone read?
Oh, my goodness. You start, please.
See, this is what you get for not prepping the questions. Well, are there two? Do you want fiction? Do you want nonfiction? I read a lot of nonfiction these days. But there are a couple of fiction books that I really enjoy. Probably my two favorite that I read, you know, kind of in high school, like as part of AP English and those types of things. The two that I really enjoyed, despite the fact that I was forced to read them, I really enjoyed Les Miserables and A Tale of Two Cities. Those are kind of the two classic pieces of, you know, real classic literature that I just, for whatever reason, really, really enjoyed. Really enjoyed the stories. Those were probably two of my all-time favorite fiction pieces. I'll throw in a nonfiction for what it's worth, because it's kind of a book that it's a book that I read after college, but before I took a gap year between college and law school and worked. And it's a book that I read after college, but before I went to law school. It's by a finance personality, Dave Ramsey, and it's called The Total Money Makeover. And I really think, although I didn't agree with everything that he said, and I didn't follow all of his advice, I think reading that book fairly early in life kept me out of a lot of money trouble. And it's pretty basic stuff that, you know, not everybody learns early on. And it's stuff like, you know, stay out of debt, don't borrow money, be very careful with credit cards, you know, free money is not free. And it just kind of really teaches you the cost of money and how saving early and often can really mean a world of things, and how debt can really rack up and really impact your future. And, you know, I do have debt. I have a mortgage on my house and things like that. But, you know, I've really tried to be, as you know, very frugal and frown on you a little bit, David, with some of the stuff that, you know, I joke on you about your multi-iPad lifestyle and things like that. But, you know, I don't judge. I don't judge. But I think that was a book that came at me at a right time in my life and probably saved me a lot of grief later.
Yeah, I, you know, it's funny. I truly didn't prep. I just kind of read these. And I read a lot. Generally, I read fiction books as audiobooks through Audible. In fact, if you listen to any of our Audible spots, you'll hear my favorite audiobooks as I talk through them. I think I would have to say, if I was going to pick one I'll pick one fiction. I'll pick a couple different categories, one in each. For fiction, I really did enjoy the Patrick O'Brien Master and Commander series, which is, it's a lot. It's like 20 books. And I did them all on Audible. I even talked about them on an Audible spot at one point, but it's Patrick O'Brien went into the Naval Archives in the UK and wrote a fictional story about a surgeon and this sea captain that were best friends as they worked through the Napoleonic Wars. And it's almost like a Jane Austen novel. I feel like very period and just, you kind of get lost in it. And over a series of over 20 books, you see their career from the beginning to the end. And it's very satisfying. I felt like, so if you want some fiction to get lost in, the only downside about that book is they're very steeped in maritime terminology. And they talk about different sails and lines and, at first I just let that stuff wash over me. And then as I got through all the books, I slowly started to understand what they were talking about, but it didn't matter for the story. So I think if you want some good fiction, I would do that. And I would recommend the Audible versions because the narrators are amazing. Now you're kind of getting me, in terms of other books, kind of the hippie stuff. When I was in high school, I went through an existential period. So, Jean-Paul Sartre was a big deal to me, as was Albert Camus. And I think The Myth of Sisyphus always was a good book. I don't know. Anybody who's read it may disagree with me, but I thought it was a very good book. So maybe I'll pick that one. And, oh boy, what am I going to say, Katie? I have so many. I'm just looking through my iBooks book list right now. Okay, here we go. The Making of Star Wars 4, the iBooks Rich Experience, where they have video and behind the scenes footage. And
so wait, so that's a book that you would recommend everyone read? That was the question. I think you've gotten off topic of the question. You recommend everyone read?
Yes.
The Making of Star Wars.
Yes. Yes, I picked that one.
Now I'm going to start judging.
Oh, come on. You never really stopped, did you?
No, I didn't. Okay.
or okay, here's one. David Allen, Getting Things Done. Man, super useful. So glad I read that book. Everybody read that one.
Okay.
Okay, I can already see my strategy of just going in blind isn't working. Jen wrote in and she said, I want to hear more about David's bike. Occasionally I make mention of my bike. So last year I realized that most of the stuff I do with my new kind of home office lifestyle is within 5 miles of my home. And so I get in the car, I drive to, you know, the barber shop, the doctor, the market, the Home Depot, all that stuff is just around me. And I got thinking, why am I doing that in a car? So I started thinking about bicycling. The problem is I live in the foothills of Southern California. So it's pretty steep where I live. We had a couple old bikes around the house. I tried them. I tried some experiments riding the bikes. And the problem was the hills are so steep that I just could not get back up the hill on the bike. So what I would do is I'd ride the bike down to Starbucks and then I'd end up pushing it half the way back up the street. And, you know, that just didn't seem cool. And then a friend of mine turned me on to these new bikes. He says, you need to get an electric bike. And I remember when I was a kid, they had those and they were really goofy looking and just, you know, kind of terrible. And so I started looking and of course the technology's come a long way since the last time I looked at those things. I ended up buying one. I got a used one. It's a Pedego City Commuter. Pedego. And the company's in Orange County here. So I thought that was cool. So I knew I can get it serviced here. But it's got a little motor in the rear, inside the axle of the rear wheel. You don't even really see it. And it's got a battery that's underneath some panniers. I love this bike so much, Katie. I'm glad I got a chance to talk about it on the show because it's great. I only take my car out maybe one day a week. You know, when I go to meet clients or go to court or something, but I go to the market, I go to the post office, I go, you know, all the normal things you do, I do around here. It's got bags on the back. They call them panniers that you can stick groceries and things in. And I'm just that guy who rides this bike. And because it has a little motor in the back, you can set it for pedal assist at different increments of 20%. So I usually set it when I'm on the steep hill at 40%. So the bike is, I'm pedaling 60%. The bike is pushing 40%. And that's just enough for me to get up the hill, work up a little bit of sweat, get some exercise, but not kill myself. And it's just great. And it's really fun because where I live, there are a lot of bicyclists, like really fit bicyclists that have really fancy bikes wearing spandex and all that stuff. And I just love just like motoring past them on my little bike and ringing the bell as I go past them. They hate me. They hate me, Katie. But
now, can you do it on 100% assist? Can it be
you
totally
can.
Motorized?
Yeah, okay. it essentially turns into a motorcycle. I think that top speed is like 20 miles an hour. It's not super fast, but just for getting around town, I love this thing. And now it's kind of like, now all my daughter's friends, they honk at me. They know, you know, now it's kind of, you know, the crazy guy riding a bicycle around. That's me now. But man, I love it. So if you're out there and you live in hills or something, or maybe you even just want to take really long rides, because if you get a big enough battery in this thing, I think you can go like 30 miles in it. But I just use it for probably the 5 to 10 miles around my house.
Now, where do you buy this? Did you buy it online? Did you buy it? I mean, I see them online, but this is something I'd kind of like to get locally, you know, so I know I could get fit for it properly.
Yeah, they have dealers. They have dealers. And I really like the Pedego brand. You know, I got mine used, so that's that. But there's a lot of them around here because it's California and there's a lot of good weather for biking in. But get a big chain if you get it. And just ride it. I mean, now since I've got it, it's really expanded. A bunch of my friends that hear about it come over to my house and ride it around, and then they end up buying one. So now I have several friends that have them as well. But it's really something in between a moped and a bicycle, as I guess the best way to put it.
Hmm. That looks pretty. I mean, I'm on their website now. That looks kind of fun, because I don't go far. I mean, I would say, in fact, you know, we've got the automatics. They used to sponsor our show. They haven't recently, but I was I've been kind of lax on tracking my mileage for work, and I have to turn that in quarterly. So I'd gone back into the automatic app and was, you know, trying to go back and retroactively track my mileage, which I don't recommend you do. And I realized that pretty much all of my work trips are more than, you know, because the courthouse is a couple of miles away. And so most of my trips. So I just excluded any trip that was less than 3 miles from my automatic dashboard. And it cut all of my trips. It cut them down by 75%. So like 25% of my trips are more than 3 miles. So, you know, something like this might make sense.
I think I've got about 300 miles on this bike because I've been using it for about a year now, and it's just great. I love it. And, you know, it's nice. I just enjoy the process of riding the bike. I try to be very safe. You know, I've got the biggest helmet, and
it looks like it's got a nice comfy seat, like an old person seat.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah. A friend of mine says, you're like breakfast. That's like a Breakfast at Tiffany's bike that you're riding around, and you sit high in it. It's not like you crouch down. You sit high on the bike. So you've got a really good view.
And it doesn't really look like a motorized bike.
No, the battery is underneath the panniers. You don't even really see it. But I mean, I go to Starbucks like a couple days a week. I ride to Starbucks in the morning when there's a lot of activity in my house and I want to concentrate. I'll just go there and get a comfy chair and a cup of tea and work. I take the bike there. Like I said, anything around, it's kind of interesting. My younger daughter is 15 and a half. She just got her permit, and we've been talking about, does she need a car or not? And we're coming to the conclusion, we don't need another car because we can kind of plan around it. And so we're going to have 3 people sharing 2 cars, but I think it's going to be fine.
You might have to buy her a bike.
No, not really. When she goes somewhere, it'll be farther because her school is farther away and where she does her singing is farther away. But I think it'll be fine. And, you know, if we need to get a car, we'll get a car. I'm not going to just not buy one. But if I think we're going to be fine without one. And a lot of the reason is because of this bike. I mean, there's just days and days go by that I don't need to get into a car.
So the next question we have is from Nils, who wants to know, how did we get into the law?
All right, you first.
Mine was kind of an accident. I had no intention to go into law. I was on my path to a journalism career, and in retrospect, it was probably a good idea. I didn't do that. And this was back in the day of print journalism. I was very interested in print journalism and desktop publishing and design, you know, things that don't exist hardly anymore for, you know, dead tree publications. And I was working at that time for a publisher. And I was working, this was my junior year in college. I just started my junior year in college. And I had a bunch of AP credits. And so although it was my junior year, I didn't have to go to school a lot. So I was kind of really only taking classes maybe half or three quarter time because I didn't have to take that many classes. And I was working full time though, because I had this job for the publishing company. So I took classes very first thing in the morning or very last thing in the evening so that I could have my day free to work. And I needed a class that met first period, which was 7:30 in the morning, because I needed to be free to work by 9. So I was literally going through the course catalog, which was on newsprint at that time, looking for any class that met at 7:30 in the morning. I needed any elective class at 7:30 in the morning. Didn't care what it was. I was just kind of looking for the most reasonable option at that point. And the class that I found that, you know, looked the most possibilities was a class called Race, Law, and the Constitution. It met at 7:30 in the morning. So I signed up for it. I had no interest in it. And I thought, what the heck, I'll do this. And it was taught by a guy who is a local magistrate and judicial hearing officer. And he taught it at 7:30 in the morning because he, too, had to be at work at 9 o'clock. And he taught it very Socratic method. He was just a very domineering personality. And it was the hardest class I'd ever taken in my life. And the first day I walked in there, he terrified me. And he scared the living bejesus out of everybody in that class. And within 2 weeks, half the class had dropped by the dropout period. Half the class was gone. But something about that class just woke something up inside me. It was just, he taught it Socratic method. You were scared all the time because you knew he could call on you at any given moment. It was terrifying, but it was also an awakening type experience for me. And I took every single other class I could find that that professor taught, and ultimately almost changed my major to poli-sci. But at that point, I was almost graduated, and my parents were like, you need to graduate on time. So I said, okay, I graduated on time. But as a result of that, I then did an internship in Washington, D.C. That professor then wrote me a letter of recommendation for law school. And that's what, you know, he said, if this is something you're interested in and this is something you like, then you need to go to law school. And so that's how I ended up in law school.
Yeah, I stumbled into it as well. I was an aerospace engineering major, and I felt like one of the problems with engineers is they're inarticulate. They can't talk. So I joined the debate team my freshman year of college with the idea of, I thought if I could speak well, then I would be better at being an engineer and have a better chance of advancement. And I found out I was really good at it, and I was winning national tournaments. And at some point, a federal judge was a judge of one of our tournaments and took the winners to dinner and said, hey, you should go to law school. And that, I think it was sophomore year. I'd never really even thought of it, to tell you the truth, before that. And it just kind of came together. I was the only guy who graduated in the political science department that had also passed organic chemistry and calculus of several variables. So that was my claim to fame. But so I switched majors and went into law. It wasn't a big plan. And I've considered myself very fortunate that I've landed where I have as a lawyer, because I'm not sure I would have ever fit into a large firm. That's another story altogether.
Gannon writes in and wants to know, what kind of things do you carry around in your pockets? And I'm going to modify that to say, or your purse, on a regular day. I'll let you go first, because yours is probably smaller than mine, because you have pockets and I have a purse.
Yeah, when I first got the iPhone, I decided that my left pocket would forevermore be my iPhone pocket. And if you ever see me in person, you'll see, like, on all my jeans, there's like an outline of an iPhone on the left side, because I just always stick the iPhone in the left pocket and nothing else. At the beginning, I was super concerned it would get all scratched up if I put it in the same pocket as keys. I don't think I worry about that as much more. I think they've got pretty good. But the right hand side, just out of habit, is the keys, if I have them. I don't carry keys very often. When I have, of course, my AirPods, and sometimes I wear cargo shorts during the summer. So the ones I wear, the REI brand I wear, has a AirPod sized pocket with Velcro. It's perfect. So that's pretty awesome. And then for my wallet, I am very minimalist. I have, it's a piece of steel with like a big piece of rubber around it. And inside is my driver's license and a credit card and a bank card. I don't carry a lot with me, so I try to keep it minimal. I used to carry a pocket knife every day, but anymore, it's like anywhere you go, they're making you empty your pockets. I don't want to lose my pocket knives.
I carry a purse Monday through Friday most days. I don't always carry a purse on the weekends, but I have a small minimalist wallet. Mine's a little Coach wallet. Most people would consider it a travel wallet. That's probably what it was originally intended for, but I just don't care like carrying a lot of junk in my wallet, so that's my everyday wallet. And then, of course, I have my iPhone, and I carry as few keys as I possibly can. My goal is to only have three keys, my office key, my house key, and my car key, but sometimes I have more than that. But in my purse, all those things go into my purse. My purse is big enough to carry an iPad, so that was a defining characteristic of what kind of purse I was going to carry around. And then also in my purse, I keep, business card holder. So I keep a stack of business cards. I also keep a second business card holder where I keep like these little coupon cards, where you get a punch if you go somewhere and those types of things. But I keep a little cosmetic makeup bag in the bottom of it. I think I talked about this on one of our other shows where I keep a lightning and a micro USB retractable cable and a small Aukey power plug that has two USB ports on it. And then I also have a small, very small anchor battery that's enough to charge an iPhone like 2.5 times, but it's pretty small size. It's a little bit bigger than a lipstick thing of lipstick. But today I was, I went over to check on my brother. He's doing some renovations at his house. And so at lunch, I popped over there to see how he was doing. And he says, "Oh, thank goodness you're here. Do you have your iPhone charger?" Because he knows that I walk around with, like I'm the person. I've got these things. And I said, yeah, because I don't know what it is about him. He, I plug my iPhone in every night, unless I, don't quite make a connection. My iPhone is plugged in and charged. So I always have a full iPhone at the beginning of every day. But his iPhone like lives on 2%. I don't know why he can't get that thing plugged in. But, he doesn't charge it at night. He's like, "Oh, my phone's dead." I'm like, "Ugh." So what do? I give the kid my charger and my cable. And I have a feeling I will probably never see them again.
Yeah. My kids are like that too. I feel like they feel like they're fine until the battery icon turns red.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always work.
I think it's the fact that he's a good bit younger than me that could be why. And then I keep like some pens and other stuff. When you have a purse, you tend to accumulate more junk, but that's kind of my everyday carry. And if I'm not carrying a purse because I'm carrying like a little go bag, or if I'm carrying a little bag because we're doing something, then I'll take that stuff out of the purse and put it in my bag.
Yeah. Someday on the show, we'll have to cover, this is more of a technology question, but, I have definite opinions. Like if you're going to a theme park or if you're going, to fill a briefcase, I do have technology that gets added to the mix, but for just walking around during the day, all I have is my iPhone and my AirPods and my wallet.
So here's a question for Jack that I've always wanted to know the answer to. Why does David always refer to Katie Floyd by first and last name?
Because Katie Floyd just rolls off the tongue. Katie Floyd. I love the way your name fits together.
That must be true because there are many people, not necessarily family members, but many people in my life who do that. They see me and they say, "Katie Floyd."
Your name that's works. That's who I am. Your first and your last name work together like peanut butter and chocolate. I don't know how to say it, but did you not like it? I can try and stop.
Don't stop. It's fine.
It's hard for me.
There are many people who do that. And I'm like, it's my first name and my last name, and that's fine. I have no problem being Katie Floyd. I like being, but I guess I can never get married and change my name now because it would devastate people.
Well, I don't know. They're both one syllable, but so are mine. But for some reason, yours, it's just
Katie is two syllables.
Oh, that's right. So it just rolls together. I don't know. Your parents did a good job naming you. Let's just put it that. Kudos to mom and dad.
All right. Well, there you go. So Elizabeth wants to know, David, how you met your wife.
Wow. This is Ask Me Anything, isn't it?
It is. Yes. Maybe you should have reviewed the Google Doc a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you the short version. So I was in college and I had joined the debate team, as we've talked about. And this beginning of the sophomore year, I went into the debate room and there was a new freshman girl there who I thought was very attractive. Immediately I was attracted to her and immediately she was repelled by me. And, that's true. But, as the fates would have it, we were assigned as a debate team together. So my wife's maiden name was Resurrection. So we were Sparks Resurrection was our debate team name, which is pretty great for a name. And we became friends, and, you know, one thing led to another. For our friends, everybody who knows us thinks that we met at Disneyland, because later she got a job at Disneyland, as so did I. And
yeah, I always thought you guys met at Disneyland, no.
No, we were debate partners in college. That's how we met. And we had a lot of good times together. And I was just telling her the other day, you know, because we're coming up on 25 years of marriage and next year. I mean, how lucky are we when you think about it? I mean, most people, when you get married young, you just turn into different people as you grow older. And so rarely can you do that together. But I've been very lucky with my my marriage. I don't know how she puts up with me.
That's awesome. Mitch wants to know, what jobs would we have if we couldn't be attorneys?
All right, you first.
I don't know. I guess I'd be a podcaster. Does that count?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a good question. I guess the default answer, I had to make a choice. No, I'm kind of glad I got out of that. I guess I had to make a choice at some point, and it was probably my sophomore year of high school or college, my sophomore year of college, as to whether or not I wanted to go into computer science or whether I wanted to go into something else. And I really debated about that for a long time, because I always knew that computers were my hobby. I always knew I had an aptitude for computers, but I didn't know that I wanted that to be my career, because there can be, you know, if you turn your hobby into your career, which one could argue we kind of have ultimately as a second career, then you can kind of grow to hate your hobby sometimes. And so ultimately that's why I decided to keep tech as more of a hobby, and then move into journalism, and then ultimately law as my career. Because the area of journalism I went into was more publishing and you know, more the mechanics of it, as opposed to actually the writing piece. Because I knew that I would be using computers in that aspect. But I guess I would probably have ultimately gone into program and development. You know, there were no apps. I mean, there were programs, but, you know, the whole app revolution didn't happen until many years later.
I think like you, if for some reason I couldn't be a lawyer, and I'm one of the weird lawyers that enjoys it, but if I couldn't, I think I would just put all my time into being Max Barkey and writing even more books and exploring that stuff even more. I mean, I'm just at this point in my life, I'm very fortunate. The listeners have been with us all this time know that, you know, I was at the firm, I left, and I'm super happy now. I mean, I'm still working on the balance part, but I mean, the two jobs I have, being a lawyer to small businesses and being Max Barkey, is their dream jobs, both of them. So I don't know. I haven't really thought about alternatives lately. I used to a lot, but not anymore.
Lee wants to know, taking out Star Trek and Star Wars, because we talk about those all the time, so you can't pick anything in those universes. What is your favorite movie or TV show? I would say my favorite movie that isn't in the Star Wars universe is probably The American President. It's maybe not super well known. It's written by Aaron Sorkin, and it ultimately became The West Wing. It was kind of his idea that then evolved into The West Wing. Martin Sheen was in it as chief of staff.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
Michael Douglas was the president. Annette Bening was the love interest in that movie. And it's very West Wing-esque. If you like Michael J. Fox was in it. If you like the West Wing, you will like The American President. I will tell you, unfortunately, the digitization of that movie, I think I saw it in the theaters years and years ago, but I'll tell you, the digitization of that movie is very poor. It's still good enough. It's still good that you can see it, but I really wish they would remaster it at some point, because both the iTunes and the DVD version of it, you know, don't hold up that great in today's age of, you know, high def and 4K. I can't seem to get a good digital copy of it. Not even on. I have the DVD, but that would probably be my favorite movie. And then I would say similarly, I just love Aaron Sorkin. Similarly, favorite TV shows. The West Wing would probably be my all time favorite TV show.
Yeah, a lot of people love that show. I think for movie, I think a lot of my my movie and television stuff goes back to childhood, you know, culture. So for me, I think my favorite movie outside of Star Wars is E.T. the extraterrestrial.
Oh yeah, that's a good movie.
You know, I just love that movie so much. I when I was a kid, I remember seeing it. I don't remember how old I was. I was a little bit old for the movie. I think I was like 12 when it came out. But I really enjoyed it anyway. I remember I was in the theater. In fact, I did an episode of The Incomparable. I'll try and find it for show notes for this, where we talked about E.T. and I was the resident, you know, fanboy. But I was like 12, and at the end when the police are, you know, they've got the barricade and they fly over the top of it, I just made this whooping noise. I used it out of my mouth. I didn't even, I've never done that in a movie before or since, really. I was just so happy. So I love that movie. And I didn't watch it for years until I had kids. And then I started watching it with them again. And I just fell in love with it all again for a bunch of reasons. So much so now that every year on my birthday, the kids say, "What do you want to do, Dad?" I'm like, "I want to watch E.T. with you guys." So that's probably my favorite movie outside of Star Wars. Television, you know, I don't watch that much TV, I'll have to be honest. And I'm not that invested in it. I used to really enjoy, there was a show called Northern Exposure.
Yeah.
It was just a wacky show about these people and this doctor up in Alaska. And I liked it because they were so, it was just quirky.
Kooky.
Yeah. And it was kind of a fun escape. Although, you know what? I'm not allowed to say Star Trek. I actually would think that my favorite television show was Star Trek The Next Generation, because when I was in law school, as we talked about last year, that was my escape every day when I was trying to, you know, keep, because I had a scholarship, I'd have these high grades, and I was putting all this pressure on myself, but every day I gave myself an hour to watch Captain Picard. And that was really, probably of all the television shows I watched, that's the one I got the most joy of. And it was there for me, you know, kind of when I needed it.
I think I'm not allowed to say Star Wars, but you are Star Trek, but you probably can.
Okay. Then I'll say Star Trek TNG, Next Generation.
Liam says, it's hard to balance managing a busy practice with looking out for your physical and mental health. Would love to hear some tips on how you guys are managing all that stress.
Okay, so I'll chime in first this time. I tried to do one of these gyms where you go and it was Orange Theory, where they go and they put you through the paces. That didn't really work.
That just sounds like adding a whole lot more stress.
Yeah, it was actually too much for me, honestly. And But what I have been doing for exercise, which works really well for me, is first of all, it's the bike. You know, I fill my rings on my bike. Even though I have pedal assist, I'm doing a lot of pedaling, and that helps. And then any day that I'm not getting up in the morning and riding the bike to the store and doing that stuff, there's a two-mile loop where I live. It's on a hill. So you fill all your rings. I make that a commitment. When I wake up, I have my little, you know, shorts and my Star Wars sweaty shirt and hat, and I just walk the loop and put my AirPods in, listen to a podcast, or if Daisy wants to come along, we talk to each other. And so that's kind of my exercise. And then I also, when I quit the gym, I got some 10-pound weights and a yoga mat, and I do a lot of body weight exercises. So I do a little bit of that. And the other thing I do, which I think we've kind of skimmed across on the show, but I actually have a meditation practice, so don't get all weird on me. That's okay. But I have a little meditation practice I do, and I think it really helps, a mindfulness meditation. And both of those things, if I stop doing either one, I notice that it messes me up.
I probably am not as good about this as I should be. I do have a gym membership. I wish I went more often. I used to really enjoy spinning, which is, you know, kind of bicycling to music and all. But I found that my enjoyment of it was very based on who was teaching the class. And I only had like one or two teachers who taught the classes that I liked. This probably says more about me than it does them, because it was like, if someone fiddled with the controls too much, they got on my nerves. If someone played bad music, they got on my nerves. A lot of things got on my nerves in that class. If someone talked too much during the class, they got on my nerves. So I tried it for a long time, and I only found like two teachers that I really liked. And unfortunately, they've both left. So maybe I should go back now and see if I can find maybe their new teachers, because, you know, they rotate out every couple of years. So there may be more now that I like. The other thing I do is I do have an elliptical machine here in the house. And so I try to do that a couple of times a week. And that's been helpful. My other thing I do is I have a cutoff time. I know that I'm more of a morning person than an evening person. I know that after a certain time at night, I'm not going to get any more work done. So I just stop and go to bed, or I stop and do more mindless stuff at night. You know, probably by 7, 8 o'clock, I'm done. I'm definitely done. I'm either vegging out on the couch, or I'm watching TV, or doing any of those things that I'm not doing, you know, high intensity, you know, or thoughtful things. I'm just kind of, that's my time and that's my veg time. And I also tell you, I tend to go to bed pretty early. I'm usually, maybe not necessarily asleep, but I'm usually in bed by 10, 10:30. And I'm reading or I'm watching TV. Now I get up early because I'm the opposite. I'm probably up 5 or before. And that's when I have my real productive time, is I come up in the office and then work for several hours. But, you know, the opposite of that is I'm down pretty early.
Yeah, I always worry about like texting you or sending you messages after like 6 p.m. Pacific, because I just never know. I don't want to wake you up.
Yeah, did you know you were texting me at 11 o'clock the other night? I was just like, what does he want?
You know what? You know what? We were at Disneyland and I was catching up on tweets and I kind of lost track of time. Sorry.
Yeah. You're gonna get taken off my emergency bypass.
Okay, yeah. So don't you have D&D? But I guess apparently I'm that's good to know that I'm on your emergency bypass, I guess.
Yeah, you're about to get taken off.
All right. So. Well, you know, I probably deserve that. Steve wrote in. He says, do you cook and what are your go-to recipes? Katie.
I like this question. Part of the whole being frugal thing is I don't eat many meals out. Particularly, I try not to eat out by myself because that just seems like a big waste. So I try to cook most of my meals at home. I will eat out if it's more of a work thing or something like that. Also, cooking for one is I think a lot different than cooking for a family. So I'll try to cook a couple of bigger dishes that I can eat on, you know, throughout the week. I like cooking with the crock pot. This Sunday, I made probably one of my favorite dishes. I made a mojo pork and rice bake. And I think if you Google, you can find the recipe for that on my blog, which is basically taking a big pork loin and marinating it overnight with mojo sauce and some onions and spices and garlic, and then dumping it into a crock pot the next morning and cooking it all day, and then putting it over a bed of yellow rice and beans and some salsa, and then putting the mojo on top of that and then layering it with cheese and then baking it in the oven for 30 minutes. And you get a nice big casserole that you can, you know, serve with a side of greens. And then I had some people over on Sunday, so I would be eating on it all week, but otherwise now I'm just eating on it for a few days. But that's been great. And I'll do some pasta dishes, and I'll do a lot of chicken and stuff like that. Or I'll do a lot of, ground turkey or ground chicken, you know, do tacos and make various things with that. So I'll do a lot of that type of stuff. The other thing that I've done, and I typically only do it about once a month because it can get kind of expensive, but it's been a really great experience for me, is I subscribe to one of those meal-in-a-box programs. And the one that I like is Home Chef. I think we talked about this on maybe one of our gift guide shows. I like it because they have a lot more selections. You can choose from about 10 different menu items. And I tend to be a little pickier eater. And I found that their selections aren't quite as, how do I say this, foofy compared to some of the other meal selections. They're much more normal food. And so I can almost always find three things that I like. And I get typically three meals with servings for two, and I do that once a month. And so obviously, you know, that's easily two portions. Sometimes it's more than two portions because the portions are quite generous. So I'll eat off of those and, either to have leftovers or lunch or things like that. And not only has that given me a lot more variety, but it's taught me to cook a lot different things, and it's kind of helped me improve my cooking skills. So I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'm kind of the sous chef here when Daisy needs help. I'm really good at chopping vegetables and doing prep for her. And she does, in the kitchen, she does most of that cooking. If I cook, it's usually stir fry. I do a lot of stir fry stuff if I'm on my own. We went and took a cooking class together. It was really funny. About halfway through it, the guy was giving me tips on how to use a knife to peel a pepper. And he said, oh, and by the way, I love your podcast. It's just like, you know, it's great, you know, but the barbecue for me is a whole nother story. I love doing barbecue, and I like barbecue challenges. Whenever we have a lot of family coming over and the weather is good at all, I will fire up the barbecue, and I've got a bunch of books and do all sides of weird techniques. I don't just make bratwurst on the barbecue.
Now, see, when you say barbecue, as being in the South, I think of that as being some kind of meat with sauce on it, barbecue. Yeah. You use that as, and we use the term, I use the term grilling to be anything more generic.
Okay. So for those folks in the South, I grill a lot. I like to grill, and I have a little Weber kettle, and I don't use gas. I use charcoal, and I'm super, we could do a whole show about why I like charcoal over gas, but I don't think people want to hear that.
Yeah, make that a blog post.
Yeah, but the but anyway, so I do enjoy grilling a lot, but Daisy's a better cook than I, but I do enjoy helping her, so that's fun. Benjamin asked, what podcast do you listen to?
So this is kind of a mean question because because whatever we say, people are going to be mad at us.
Yeah, I know. That's why Ask Me Anything is difficult. How about let's change the phrasing. What are your must not miss podcasts? I mean, I just looking at mine, there's a lot on here. And like, for instance, Connected is a great show on Relay with three of my friends. I don't listen to every episode, but I do listen to it. But what are the ones that you just refuse to miss that you always try and get all of them on?
Okay. I listen to Upgrade. I listen to pretty much every episode of that. The West Wing Weekly is because remember we talked about how much I like the West Wing, where they go through systematically every episode of the West Wing, and it's got Joshua Malina and Richie Kerwin. I don't know. I can't say his name, but I've been told he'd be a good guest for the show, so I need to learn how to say his name before we have him on the show.
All right.
So those are ones that I listen to. The Mac Geek Gab is probably a podcast that I've listened to for years, and it's kind of one of the all-time Mac podcasts. Accidental Tech Podcast is one that I listen to. Clockwise, I almost always listen to because it's short. It's never longer than 30 minutes. I do listen to Free Agents, David. So that's one that I usually listen to. Oh, I really like one of the very first podcasts I ever started listening to was Buzz Out Loud with Molly Wood and Tom Merritt. And they don't do that show anymore, obviously, but Molly does a show with Kai Ryssdal called Make Me Smart from Marketplace. And that's a really great show. It's a little bit newsy, but it's more current events, and they talk about all kinds of interesting things. So I like Make Me Smart. I do listen to The Talk Show. I really liked Michael Hyatt's podcast, but he's not doing it anymore. Those are probably my must-have, the ones that I always listen to every week.
Yeah, for me, I Upgrade, I listen to every week, you know. And just talking about the Jason Snell empire, he's got a podcast called The Incomparable, which is like a pop culture podcast. And a lot of those I don't listen to, but the ones I do listen to, I really enjoy. When they cover a book that I've read or a movie that I've seen, I think they're very good. He also has another one called TV, TEEVEE. And I'm only listening to that right now because my daughter's willing to Game of Thrones. So we're watching it every Sunday. And Jason does a podcast afterwards where they say smart things about what happened on the show. I listen to his show, and then I pretend like I thought of it when I talk to my daughter, so she thinks I'm smart.
Hope your daughter doesn't listen to the show.
No, she doesn't. For Star Wars, there's one called Rebel Force Radio that I love. The guys on it are super funny, well connected in the Star Wars community, so they get a lot of good interviews. And occasionally, I'm on that show too, so that's kind of fun. I've got a couple related to politics. I guess I'll skip that. I don't want to go there on the Mac Power Users. And Cortex. I like Cortex. That one. That Gray and Mike do on Relay is very good, I think. Yeah, I don't listen to that many tech podcasts, which is kind of interesting. I mean, I there's a couple that I like, but I try not to just spend all my time listening to tech podcasts because I spend a lot of time thinking and writing about it. And I don't want to listen to everybody and just become a parrot.
All right. Let's see. What else we got? We got a bunch more questions here. Sarah wants to know, what is your favorite drink?
I'm pretty boring. I don't know.
Water?
No, you know what? Honestly, a really good green tea, it makes me happier than any other drink. So, I'll take an oolong too on a day.
I don't think that's how she intended the question, but okay.
That's how I'm going to answer it.
Well, I will just tell you flat out. I don't drink anything alcoholic. Part of that is it's no judgment or anything. I actually get really bad migraine headaches. I can't really drink anything that's aged or fermented because literally drops will give me a headache that will last days long. So I've just learned to completely avoid that. It's not even appealing to me. So I just don't do that. And my favorite. So I never have liked anything carbonated for whatever reason. Just the idea of carbonation completely turns me off. It touches my tongue and I cannot stand it. Like if I accidentally pick up somebody's Sprite or 7-Up thinking that it's my water, it is just revolting to me. So, I guess I'm kind of weird in that respect. So I drink a lot of water, which I guess is healthy, but my favorite drink, if I had to pick one, I like a grande soy with whip white mocha.
Okay.
There you go.
Rose wrote in, orange juice with the pulp or without?
I don't drink orange juice.
No orange juice. Okay. Well, if you're going to drink it, you got to go all the way. You got to drink it with the pulp. Mark wrote in, pick one album, Katie and David. Pick your one album.
Well, I know what yours is. Yours is going to be Miles Davis, Something Kind of Blue.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so we know my mine.
Gosh. Well, what's mine? Do you know?
No idea. Something easy listening. That's my guess.
No, if I had to, if I had to pick, I would say my one favorite artist is probably Billy Joel. And although I know compilation albums are probably not the best thing, I really like his Songs in the Attic, which is probably anybody who's like a real, you know, fan of those types of things probably would hate that because it's a totally fake live album that was completely generated in the studio. But I like almost all of the songs on that album. It was kind of a quasi greatest hits album that they created. So, I mean, if I just had to sit and listen to an album all the way through, I'd probably listen to Songs in the Attic.
Yeah, the Miles Davis album, Kind of Blue, is a revolutionary album. And a lot of people think it's the best jazz album ever made, but I think it just depends on how you're feeling. But it's a type of jazz called modal jazz that was kind of just getting started, and the album just came out perfect in that way. And when I was a kid, I started listening to it, and it just, you know, it got its hooks into me early. And to this day, it always just makes me smile when I listen to it. I did an episode of The Inquisitive with Mike Hurley a while ago. I don't even know if he's doing that show anymore.
No, he's not.
But he asked me to talk. So I talked about the album, but we had to record it at a time. It was something like 5 a.m. Pacific time, and it was normal time in London for him. So I'm recording it having just rolled out of bed, and I sound like I'm loaded, but I'm actually just waking up. But Mike did this really cool thing where I was singing like parts of the album that I loved, and he went through the album and found those lines and put them over me singing. And thankfully I was in key because I'd listened to it so many times I actually know the key. But it's a great album, and I'd recommend listening to that episode of Inquisitive. We'll put the link in the show notes. All right. Another one of those pick one. Marie wrote, Katie, pick one Star Trek character. David, pick one Star Wars character.
Well, if I have to pick one, I've got to say Catherine Janeway, because Janeway was my captain. You know, she was the first female captain. She was a woman. She was a scientist. She was strong but brilliant. She was funny. She, you know, she came in my life at a time where, you know, I was coming into my own. So, yeah, I would say Catherine Janeway. David?
Yoda. I'd say Yoda. I really love the character Yoda. I like his philosophy and his way. He's like the Zen master that will take the last cookie from you. And I just love that about him. I definitely have an opinion that the Yoda in the original trilogy is much better than the Yoda in the prequels. In fact, if it was just the Yoda in prequels, I'm not sure he'd be my favorite character. He was kind of brooding and, you know, stick in the mud in the prequels. But the original trilogy Yoda is pretty cool.
John wants to know, crunchy peanut butter or smooth?
Crunchy. I like it messy.
Yeah, I think probably. I think it depends on what context, but probably, yeah, crunchy, I would say.
Jennifer wants to know, dogs or cats?
I'm not really an animal person. So can neither be a choice?
Neither. Well, I'm allergic to cats, so dogs. I love dogs, but we haven't had one. I had one when I was a kid, but my wife's father was a veterinarian, and he would sometimes people would bring dogs in to put them down when there was nothing wrong with them. So he would take them home. He'd tell them, he said, look, I'm going to get it a new home. It's okay. We don't have to put this dog down. And so she grew up in this house that was like a halfway house for dogs. And when we got married, we had to go to marriage encounter, and we had talked about everything about, you know, we thought we were really proud of ourselves. You know, we had talked about, are we going to have kids? Are we going to, you know, we had thought we'd figured everything out. And then somebody said, well, you know, are you going to have dogs or pets? And I'm like, of course we're going to have dogs. And she's like, no dogs, you know, right there. And I realized it was a big deal for her. And now that we've been married this many years, I actually don't think I want a dog because I like the independence. All my friends have dogs. It's like having another kid. But I do like dogs.
Yep. Rolando wants to know, David, what's your favorite ride at Disneyland?
That's an easy one. It's the one that I manned for many years, the Jungle Cruise. There's better rides, there's faster rides, there's more dynamic rides. But, you know, I have a lot of, I think a theme of my life is I do get, you know, I do get kind of warm and squishy towards certain things. And having spent so many years driving around the Jungle Cruise makes me love that ride.
And this is probably a good one to end on. So we'll leave it here. And this is what I'm going to have to think about. When did you first realize you were a geek?
I think I know distinctly when there was a Five and Dime store that had a big promotion, and they were giving away free calculators, and I was really, really young, probably too young to be riding my bike down there, and so me and my buddy got up first thing. We were there like before they opened for the free calculator. And it was a mechanical calculator. It was a thing where you stuck a pencil in it and you like ran it up like a gear. I can't even describe it by now. I don't even remember exactly how it worked, but it was terrible. But I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I remember looking at myself objectively thinking, you're a geek. And back then that wasn't really a good judgment.
I guess I never really, and it wasn't until I got into school that I realized kind of what a geek was, as opposed to it just being a normal thing. Because, you know, it's really just part of your life. And then all of a sudden you realize that that is somehow different than other people. And I guess that can be a bad thing, too. I knew from a very young age that I certainly had an aptitude for computers and for technology. I remember when I was in elementary school, my dad bought a stereo system, and, you know, it included installation, and the guy they sent to install it couldn't get it installed. And so he left, and like 2 days later was going to send somebody to, like, his supervisor to come install it. And, you know, I was younger than 10 at that point in time. And, you know, of course, nobody thinks anything of course, the other thing I had going against me was I was a girl. So nobody thinks anything of the girl, the little girl. And between the point in time that the guy left and the time that his supervisor came, I had it all hooked up. And those were just the types of things. Things made sense to me. We had a 128 Mac in our house from a very early age, because my dad had bought one for his office, and nobody ever taught me how to use it. And it was just something, it made sense to me. It was something that it figured out. And so technology was always something that made sense to me. And it really wasn't until I got into school that I realized that it didn't just work like that for everybody else. And then it was something that kind of made you different from everybody else. And I guess it was probably in, so I don't know, but I guess it was, I guess to answer your question, I didn't realize that I was a geek until I realized that not everybody else was either. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. It was weird for me because my parents grew up in the Depression. They were 40 when I was born. So they had no upbringing with technology at all. So this kid of theirs that was really into this stuff, they didn't know what to make it. You know, my dad, I think, was thinking, well, why doesn't he just want to go throw a football? And why are we doing, you know, and I don't think they ever really kind of grokked what I was doing. But at the same time, they tried to be really supportive of it. So it was weird. But, you know, I always felt like I was a little out there as a geek, as a kid. And growing up in the 70s, like I said, it could get you beat up. It wasn't like now. I feel like now it's a little bit more celebrated. But whatever. It's all good.
Now it's kind of like you have a superpower.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, that's probably a good place to leave it. We're coming up on an hour here. So we will say thank you again for everyone who's listening to this. That means you are hopefully a Relay FM member. And your money goes directly to David and I if you're supporting Mac Power users. And if you're supporting all the great shows on the network, then that gets divvied up directly to the host. Really, the only costs that come out of that are for the overhead costs for Relay to manage the membership system. And so David and I really appreciate it. It means the world to us that you think enough of our show to directly support us. It's something that we certainly look forward to, and it's the highlight of my week, David. I got to tell you, to be able to sit down and podcast with you, and I'm so pleased that we're at a point now where we can really justify putting enough time and energy into it because we have the support of our members and our sponsors, and I'm glad to keep doing this with you for as long as you'll have me.
Amen, sister.
All right. Well, thank you again, Relay members, and we will see you all next year.